He's in Toronto, and he is a filmmaker as well as one of the main media people behind the website pressfortruth.ca, the media company Press for Truth. And I'd like to welcome to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today, Dan Dix. Hello, Dan.
Hey, man. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not bad. How are you doing? I know these are busy times with everything that's going on. How are things going?
Things are going very well. This is definitely an extremely busy time for me. I knew, you know, over a year ago that around this time, the month of June, I was going to be extremely busy, and here we are. So, yeah, very busy with the film screening I have coming up and film release, and then, of course, the G20. Right around the corner. So, yeah, extremely busy at the moment.
Right. And, I guess we got to, let's just start off with talking about the film screening then, because I know that's the next thing up with it premiering on Friday.
Yeah.
What is United We Fall?
Well, United We Fall is a film that delves into the idea of a North American union. We basically chart it chronologically, starting as far back as the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs, and then we kind of explain how incrementally through trade deals like the FTA, the NAFTA, the SPP, the North American Leaders Summit are all incremental steps that seem to be leading us towards the idea of a North American union, very similar to a European union, where the three countries, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, would be harmonizing and merging together politically and economically. And then we touch on the bigger picture about how this North American Union agenda could be basically another step towards the bigger idea of a global government. So that's pretty much what we touch upon in this film.
And who's all involved in the film? Who are you following in this documentary to get this kind of information?
Well, the subtitle of the film is Three Nations, Two Sides, One Union, and that's really what it is. We try to present both sides by speaking with insiders who are deeply involved in this thing, but also people like activists, political journalists, and that sort of thing, so that we get both sides of the issue. We've spoken with, again, a lot of really major players, people like members of the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations. So we've spoken with a lot of people like that, and then also people like Luke Radowski and Alex Jones and other people of that nature who have been at the forefront of this fight.
So that's interesting that you've got sort of, it sounds like you're going to have two perspectives, like differing perspectives, I guess, on this situation. It's not all just going to be from the activism or the resistance perspective, but you've also got people that are supporting the globalization.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to give these guys an opportunity to explain themselves, and we didn't want to make any kind of a biased film, if you will, so we try to explore all sides, and we get the opinions of these guys from the horse's mouth about, you know, what their views are on this concept of how trade deals could be moving towards a North American Union. And like I said, we managed to get a lot of the major players. We got Alan Gottlieb. He's a former Canadian ambassador to the States from, I think it was 81 to 89. He was instrumental in the signing of the free trade agreement. He's trilateral. He's Bilderberg. And we got guys like Robert Pastor and John Manley, who's now the president of the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, which is basically 150 of Canada's biggest corporations who are all a part of this thing. And he is the president of that, the president of presidents, if you will. So, yeah, those are the guy, kind of guys we've been speaking with to try to get their view and their opinion on what this is all about.
Well, I guess what that makes me wonder, though, is how it's possible to how were you able to with having like your independent media company, how are you able to get these like industry leaders in involved in the documentary? Like, were they all just willing to talk with you, or?
Well, I'll tell you, flattery will get you far. we would basically just ask them. we would email them, and we would start off using flattery, basically saying, I've read your books, we've read your documents, we're very interested in speaking with you about the idea of deeper integration and a North American community. We wouldn't use words like North American Union because we know that might scare them off. And also, we would keep my name out of the emails because, you know, I've already made a documentary film on this issue called The Nation's Deathbed. So we knew they would be doing a background check on us, so we purposely left my name out of the emails for that reason, that they wouldn't catch on and say, oh, I know what kind of an angle these guys are coming from. I'm not going to talk to them. Actually, there's a funny story about that. We had an interview lined up with Thomas D'Aquino. He was the former president of the CCCE. And about 5 minutes before the interview, I wasn't able to attend this particular one, but Brian drove down to Ottawa to do the interview. And they called him up on his cell about 5 minutes before he arrived, and they said, yeah, I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel. So he went there anyways, and he walked in, and he met them, and he said, yeah, I drove all this way. I have all this gear. What's the problem? And they said to him, well, we did a little bit of research, and we found out that you're working with a guy named Dan Dix who made a film called The Nation's Deathbed. He has a website where he talks about, and this guy knew a lot of stuff about me. He said, this guy talks about this and that, and you know, the banking system and secret societies and all this stuff. So basically, we think you guys are lunatics, and there's no way I'm going to let my boss speak to you. But besides that one, everybody else we approached basically said, yeah, I'm willing to talk to you guys.
Nice. And this is all, I guess, this movie is, and this screening is going to, this is going down Friday evening?
Yeah, the exclusive premiere screening is this Friday at the Bloor Cinema, Friday, June 18th at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6:30. Richard Serrett, the host of the Conspiracy Show on 7:40 a.m., along with Patrick White of ConspiracyCulture.com, are going to be hosting the event and presenting it. And they will be, you know, Brian and I are going to do a Q&A session after the film. So that is, yeah, this coming Friday.
Nice. And I know Brian Law is the, because I interviewed him a few weeks ago at a Toronto Truth Seekers meetup, and then we played it on the radio a few weeks ago. And Brian Law, I know, is the director of The Nation's Deathbed. What is your role in the film?
Well, he's the director of United We Fall.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, yeah.
The Nation's Deathbed I made with Stephen Davies was actually the director of that.
Right.
But yeah, Brian is the director of the new film, and basically the two of us started working on this about 2 years ago. We've been working on this film together for 2 years. So he's the director. I'm the producer, and that's the relationship we have with this project.
Okay, and with the previous film, then the Nation's Deathbed. What I was wondering about is just because I know a lot of that movie has to do with a protest that took place in Montebello when they had the SPP meetings in 2007, the summer of 2007. And I actually was up there actually covering for CKLN. My first big, you know, trip to an activist event was covering the protest the day before in Ottawa. And so I was up there, but I was just wondering, you know, with this big G20 coming up and stuff, is there anything that protest brings to mind that you would want, like, people, in case there's people out there listening that are thinking of getting involved with protesting at G20, is there anything, like, that you would remember from the Montebello that you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was there, so I can speak from experience that, and I was not expecting everything that happened to happen. So I suppose I showed up a little bit unprepared in the sense that, you know, it was the first time that I've ever been blasted with pepper spray and tear gas. And I can tell you that stuff is absolutely brutal. You can't see, you can hardly breathe. You're almost put into a bit of a panic situation because it feels like you're in the middle of a war zone and all of a sudden you can't breathe and can't see. And, you know, according to the Geneva Conventions, in war, you're not allowed to use chemical warfare, but The reason why they are allowed to use it, like for instance in Montebello, is because technically we're not at war. So they are allowed to engage in chemical warfare on the protesters. So for the upcoming G20 summit, I would just have to tell people not to anticipate it, but be prepared for it. You can have goggles. You can get yourself a gas mask is probably a good idea if you're able to get one. Earplugs, because as we know, they have the LRAD sound cannons that they'll most likely be deploying on us. So those are ways that people can prepare. Another big thing that happened in Montebello, Quebec, was where three agent provocateurs, police officers, who were dressed up as aggressive protesters. They were wearing masks. They had rocks in their hands in an attempt to incite violence, got caught red-handed. And, it's some incredible footage that was posted on YouTube. And that is a blueprint for what you can expect here at the G20. I would not be surprised whatsoever if the Toronto Police Force engaged in those type of tactics in order to discredit thousands and thousands of legitimate protesters who are there with a legitimate cause. I even asked George Tucker, the representative of the security integration unit there, in charge of security for the G20. I said, are you able to, can you assure to me right now that the Toronto police will not engage in agent provocateur tactics like they did in Montebello? And basically his answer was, I'm not at liberty to discuss security issues. So he didn't say, no, we're not going to use these tactics. He simply said, I can't discuss that. So that's something that people need to be vigilant of. That's why it is very important to arm yourself with the greatest weapon we have in this info war, which is a camera. The camera, the lens of the camera will be our eyes. And as long as we have enough eyes out there watching this thing, we can catch them in their dirty tricks.
For real. And that's why I'm glad that Press for Truth's out there doing a lot of good work. And you guys have been doing a lot of stuff on the G20 with covering the local scene here in Toronto with what's been with some of these changes that we've been seeing. And, in these and since I've talked with you on the show before, we played some interviews before. I know I have already talked to you about this, the police terror drill that you caught on tape.
Right.
And then when I interviewed Brian Law, I asked him about when he got arrested for filming in the financial district.
Mm-hmm.
But most recently, you've got another video up here, G20 on YouTube. You can see it, G20 Order Out of Chaos, it's called. I was wondering, could you just tell us about what, I know it's it's yourself on somewhere in the financial district. Could you tell us what goes on in this video?
The video starts out, we were just down the street from the Metro Toronto Convention Center where the G20 Summit is going to be held, and we felt it was important to do our little report there in front of the RBC, because at that point, it was just a week prior that there was a firebombing on a bank in Ottawa, and the mainstream media was all over it saying this is anarchist group and these guys are prepared to do this at the G20. So we felt it was important to go down to that particular location and inform people about the concept of false flag terror events and false flag operations. So we went down to the main RBC bank headquarters there in Toronto on Front Street. And I got about, halfway through my report on that topic when, security guards came out and tried to stop us from filming. There was two separate occasions, two guards came out and said, yeah, you guys aren't mainstream media, you can't be filming here. But we do know our rights, and we know that we don't need a permit to be filming on a public sidewalk here in downtown Toronto. So we explained ourselves to them, and they eventually backed off and let us continue to do our thing. The video covers that. We cover the new so-called free speech zone that's been moved from Trinity Bellwoods Park now to the north side of Queens Park. And also, Brian, in the video, gave a little bit of an update about the arrest situation that happened to him a few weeks prior.
Right, right. And that's I was wondering, do you know what is the latest with that situation when Brian Law was arrested and what's going on now?
Well, we just recently got the arrest report in the mail. Brian had to pay to have it sent to him. And you know, it's pages and pages of stuff. But what it boils down to is they say that he was arrested due to a failure to leave the premises, which is completely not true whatsoever. So we will be challenging that. You can see it in the video. It had nothing to do. They never said you have to leave. It had nothing to do with that. They said you either have to turn off your camera or you have to show us ID. When Brian said, no, I'm not going to do either of those things, they said, turn around, place your hands behind your back. So they're trying to say that he was arrested because he failed to leave the premises when asked, but that is simply not true, and we have the video evidence. So we will be taking this matter further because, I mean, the loss of civil liberties is always incremental, and it's a slow changes that happen. So at every little step of the way, we must stand up and fight it, really. So we're going to be taking this matter to court, most likely. Obviously, we're busy right now with the film release and the G20 and everything. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of things going on right now, but we're definitely going to be dealing with that.
All right. Well, yeah, we're speaking a lot of truth. We're talking with Dan Dix from Press for Truth, and you mentioned, you know, you're slowly seeing these civil liberties and freedoms disappearing. Well, things seem to be speeding up with this G20 summit, at least in the downtown core. Are you like surprised at the what's been going on? I know, like, it seems like every day there's new announcements about, like, you know, some crazy stuff is going on involving this $1 billion security setup that they're setting up. This morning they announced about the rooftop snipers they're going to have positioned around downtown.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, what are you expecting to see in the G20? And like, are you going to be covering the protest in Queens Park North, or are you going to be covering everything, or what's the plan?
That's the plan. I've managed to put together a pretty solid team of upwards of about 15 different cameramen who are willing to work with me on the weekend of the G20. So we will have basically going to partner up, you know, kind of like a buddy system, people in twos or threes, and have our camera guys at the east end of the red zone, at the north end and the west end of the red zone. We will have also people at the Toronto Film Studios, where they're going to be using as a processing facility for any arrests that are made. And we will also have some of our cameramen and reporters up at Queen's Park to cover the protest angle. So we're basically going to try to get as many people as we can to cover every single angle, because, you know, you never know really what's going to happen. But we just want to make sure that we have plenty of eyes on scene, so that if something does happen, hopefully we can capture it on film. And, you know, the plan is to get the footage captured and uploaded to the internet, to our YouTube channels and to the website as soon as possible, to try to get it out there to the world, to show them what is really happening at the G20, because as a lot of people know, you know, mainstream media will simply lie to you. And a lot of people are beginning to catch on to this fact. So they're looking for alternative information. And that's where we come in, where we want to try to provide a place for people to go where they can see what is taking place during the G20, but not from, you know, the corporate funded mainstream media. So that's the plan.
Nice. So I know, you know, from my research of, because I'm a big movie fan, and I've been doing some movie research, and I found that a lot of these Hollywood movies, you know, there's big blockbuster movies that are all, I found that a large portion of them have been funded actually by toxic derivatives, and, you know, that's how some of this money is getting out, and, you know, but these are like major, almost all these major Hollywood studios are owned by a major corporation or, you know, conglomerate. So I'm wondering, you know, is this the movie that you've got coming out on Friday? Is this, like, would you call it an independent movie, or do you have a studio behind you, or?
No, absolutely. This is completely independent. This entire thing was made by myself and Brian Law. We did not have any kind of a budget. Every single thing is out of our own pockets. We don't have anybody funding this thing except for ourselves. So it is a completely independent film that we've been working on for the last 2 years. Yeah.
Nice. And no toxic derivatives then.
Absolutely not. Yeah, you can be sure of that.
Right. And with this United We Fall, you're talking about the North American Union, and people out there can already watch the Nation's Deathbed. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out online. You just search Nation's Deathbed. You can find the original film from 2007 or 2008. Mm-hmm. But this movie that you've been making for 2 years seems like a lot more information with this North American Union, and then we have next week a G20, global leaders, basically the 20 biggest economies are getting together. So I'm just wondering here what you're thinking about the agenda of the G20. Like, do you believe that the purpose of this G20 is like to set up the world government?
Yes, but not in such a big step. I believe what they are working on and have been ever since it was, put together is more so the harmonization of the economies of the world. Right now, they are focusing on, there is an agenda for a one world cash system, basically, where everything will be regulated and all the economies of every nation in the world will be regulated, and they need to work on that incrementally, and I do believe that that is one of the major objectives of the G20 and them getting together, is to try to arrange a global steering committee which will oversee basically how money operates all over the world. So I think that's one of the main objectives of this thing is.
Yeah, for sure. And I know I got some of this info. And just in case people think it's only the political leaders that are here, it's not. For the G20, other international organizations that are invited include the United Nations, the World Bank, the OECD, the World Trade Organization, the IMF, and the Financial Stability Bank, International Labor Organization, and... I guess there's a bunch of these financial institutions involved with this G20 as well. And then I know you did mention that you had interviewed a representative of the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah.
For United We Fall.
Yeah,
and I guess that they had just had a meeting, I think, at the beginning of the month.
Yeah, they just met, I believe it was in Spain, just a couple weeks ago. And, there's still a lot of information coming out every day right now about what took place there. And it's always extremely important to pay close attention to what the Bilderberg Group is doing, because very, very, very often, especially people who you might see attend a Bilderberg Group who might be lesser known type of person, nobody really knows who they are, and then all of a sudden... 5, 6, 7 years down the road, this particular person ends up in an extremely high position of power. So that's why it is extremely important to keep a very close eye on what the Bilderberg Group is up to. And they are beginning to realize that we are on to them. Don't be surprised if the name changes, because this is a tactic that they often use. Once mm-hmm. you begin to shed light on these guys who do their deeds in the dark, they often want to go more underground, become more secretive. They might change their names, they might change their meeting locations, but the agenda still continues. So we have to keep our eyes focused on what the Bilderberg Group is up to, because they are definitely one of the bigger organizations out there who are involved for the push for this new world order, one world government.
For real, yeah, it's fascinating stuff, and I'm sure everyone can we'll be able to get a lot more info if you make it out to the screening at the Bloor Cinema this Friday. What are the details again about the United We Fall?
Well, it's this Friday at the Bloor Cinema, 7 o'clock. I believe it's 506 Bloor Street is the address, I believe. If anybody
near
wants
Bathurst
to get tickets
Street.
For that, you can get them with PayPal at pressfortruth.ca or conspiracyculture.com. You can call in over the phone with your credit card, or you could go down to their store to pick up tickets, or you can just try to get tickets at the door. The doors open at 6:30. There will be a discussion before the film, And again, myself and Brian are going to do a Q&A session after the film. And we there's a little pub across the street from the Bloor Cinema, so we're going to go across there. And if anybody wants to continue the discussion and come meet myself and Brian and ask us questions about our film, everyone is welcome to do that. So yeah, this is coming up 2 days from now, this Friday, 7 o'clock at the Bloor Cinema.
Awesome, Dan. I'm looking forward to it, and going to be talking about the G20 when we get back. But I'm just going to take a music break here. I was going to play "It's in Your Hands."
Oh, cool.
So I guess this is a soundtrack piece.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks a lot, Dan, for talking with us.
Yeah, no problem, man.
All right, peace.
Okay, see ya.
We're out. And that was Dan Dix from the Press for Truth, and we're just going to play his song here, a song he wrote for the film United We Fall, and you can also check it on YouTube. It's called It's in Your Hands, and it is, well, the video is just Dan playing the guitar, so you'll hear some of the soundtrack for the United We Fall screening. Check it out this Friday, 7 p.m. Be there at the Bloor. This is that song.